Hello and welcome to the T2 Hubcast with me, James Cooper.
And me, Bernice Cassidy.
Right, Bernice, we're back in again. We're back in the room. Here we go again. I've come up with a question. Do we actually listen? So from a leadership point of view, I have a story to back this up, by the way, of an example of where I definitely think I've made a mistake of maybe even not even listened at all. We're going to get into listening. Hopefully we are more conscious of the way that we are listening to each other on this podcast.
Yeah.
And how that then comes across to the lovely viewers and listeners that are on the platform. So if it is that we're actually understanding, do we listen? And what are the things that we can do and why is it important? Let me tell you this story, Bernice, because I do this every year. I seem to reflect around March time and it becomes a point of what's next for me and what sort of things do I need to be trying to get into my own development rather than just having the conversations and not really using my time effectively. So this story was when I was away and obviously not naming names or numbers, but understanding that a big project of work was on board and understanding we had to have an admin tool that ran alongside our day-to-day workings. In the big meetings, I've turned around and pitched this great idea. We're going to do this. This is going to be the goal. And through reflection now, I definitely understand that I wasn't listening. If I had listened, I'd have probably understood that other people had bigger issues than what I was seeing. And as a consequence, the work didn't get done. Didn't get done to the point where next minute we're in a slightly stickier situation of now we are behind on the workload. We're now not achieving the project or the pattern of behaviour that we wanted from the people that were in the company at the time. Obviously, the stress then increased. People then started to lose faith in the whole dream when all I was doing was getting through exactly this, just getting through the day, get it done, get it done, get it done, get it done. I think for anybody that's listening or watching now to say, well, are you just trying to get the job done when actually really we should be listening a little bit more to the people that we work with?
I think it's really good that you're able to reflect and acknowledge that. I think for many of us, when we are stressed, under pressure, we've got targets to meet, it could be so easy to, you're the leader, everyone looks to you. And in those moments, your focus is, as you describe it, get it done, get it done, get it done. If you pause and think about that experience and you're aware of the impact it had, what do you think caused you to stop listening or to not listen?
I definitely think stress. I think stress, and I think that it was all brand new to me as well. So for anyone, and again, if you are listening and thinking, you know, we've got pretty big projects going on. It's new for everybody. Is everybody getting it? Is everybody understanding that this? We might have some really big issues here just from implementing a new thing. And as a leader, I know that was maybe the catalyst of it, but we're all just people anyway. So let's get back to take it back down a level and understand, okay, what was that environment like for not just me, but for everybody that was in that role and working for the same company. Well, I know that I made so many assumptions of you're understanding this. No. And I think if again, it's a great thing, but to go back into that environment, I would hold myself to the same professional values that I've got now and don't assume anything.
Yes.
Because if we're making assumptions, first of all, we're going to get into it a little bit later, but the first thing I'm not doing, if I'm assuming, is listening. Okay.
And listening is such an important thing for everyone to be conscious of. Even just thinking about, as human beings, we connect and interact and collaborate with so many different humans, especially from a work perspective. And for some of us, it might be face-to-face in the office, in and out of meetings. But for a lot of people in kind of the professional life these days, it's virtual meetings. We spend so much time at work communicating with others. Listening is a skill that needs to be continuously applied, but sometimes is easily forgotten about because it's something that seems It was so simple. Yeah, I'm a great listener. Everyone says that they're a great listener, but are you? Are you really a good listener?
Okay, so let's look at this from a slightly different angle then. What is the possible outcomes if we're not listening?
Various, all sorts of different things. If you aren't listening to someone, are we truly understanding this problem, the situation? Are we truly understanding their point of view, how they're feeling? So understanding is one.
Understanding, okay. I'll go with ambiguity.
Okay.
Because I know that if I'm not, say, like you've just done there, when I told you my story, you first thing you've done is ask another question to go into that a little bit of a deeper understanding of what's going on. Mm. If I go in and I try to listen, because I'm not saying everybody does do this in and out of malice, and you know what, I don't want to listen to you and your opinion is not valid. It definitely is. But when I have the conversation and I maybe I'm not listening, I might be just sharing key points that actually we don't need to know this bit of information, but if you'd have listened to me in the first place, you'd have got the message right. Mm. And then I'd have understood the information, the detail that you needed to move forward, rather than me just talk at you and just list off everything that I think you need to understand to move forward with your job. Let's try and cut out the ambiguity and actually listen to what people need from you as a leader, as a professional.
Yeah.
So that then we can start to have the conversation into a deeper level of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Cool. What else?
Mistakes happen if we're not truly listening. Are we potentially making mistakes? Especially when it comes to, in certain organisations, dependent on sector, but in all organisations, there's specific processes and procedures that need to be followed. Are we truly listening to understand exactly what the problem is? Are we listening to make sure that people know what they're supposed to be doing?
I'm going to touch that on to psychological safety, because I might know what I want to do, but there might be an issue that I have, but I know you don't listen anyway, so I'm not even going to tell you.
Yes.
I'm not even going to have the conversation, because, you know, the last 6 times I've tried to come to you with my advice, with my opinion, and maybe even a solution, you've dismissed it and just jumped down my neck and got your own opinion ahead, which I definitely think that I did in that meeting where we was trying to address some of the problems. It was, but this, and I think this, and I'm still not listening. I'm still not listening to you.
Yeah.
But what is it that we do next? What is the thing? So if it is psychological safety, and for everybody that's listening, a psychological safety being the freedom and trust elements. Mm. So do I truly trust you and the words that are coming out of your mouth?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I feel as if I have that freedom to be able to tell you about it? Or every time I say something, you say, you nod like a parrot and you say, yeah, no problem. Yeah, great ideas. Mm. But actually, you know, you're not listening to me. So next time I'll just keep myself to myself. I won't mention the conversation that actually could have solved a different problem later on down the line.
Yeah.
Okay, so psychological safety is another one in there. What else?
I think it's really important that you've mentioned psychological safety, because that needs to be there in order for people to speak up. Mm. When they do speak up, that's the power of actually, if we are truly listening, then we can take it forward. If we aren't listening, then that's going to have a negative impact on the overall psychological safety. And we know from the work that we do at T2, we spend a whole day running with teams of people, exploring kind of how do we lead a team? And we know through the Patrick Lencioni model that trust and psychological safety are the fundamental foundation of any team. Without it, we lead to ineffective meetings, we have a fear of speaking up, we're not sharing ideas, we're not collaborating, just to kind of name a few. Would you agree with that?
I'd also go with even further, that people, if they're not having those conversations,
yeah,
and there is that, like, a psychological safety, what happens next is we start to assume things.
Mm.
And we don't even have the conversation, we just assume that that's what's going
yeah.
to happen.
Yeah.
Assume that that's the thing that's going on, and actually, you'd just listen. I was telling you months ago, and now we're in a situation where, like we've already mentioned, mistakes are happening. productivity, what might impact productivity?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I'm making assumptions, I might be trying to solve something that's not actually the issue we need to be solving in the first place. But I was telling you that, and you just said, no, don't, carry on, do your own thing.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, okay, all right. So there's a lot to get at then for if we are not having all the possible outcomes, if we are poor listeners. But what are the things that start to happen then? If I am a poor listener, or even some of the things that we see as a catalyst from poor listening,
mm-hmm.
what's next? What happens? Because if I'm listening to you and I'm trying to have the conversation, and what should I be trying to maybe keep from rearing its head? And
yes.
What might that?
I think a really important thing that we all need to possess in order to kind of maximize listening is curiosity. In order to be curious, then we need to be conscious and aware of a little something called your advice monster.
Right, okay. I've heard of these three before, but what is it?
Your advice monster, well, for starters, we all have an advice monster. People so often think that they're really good listeners. We're all fantastic listeners. But that's sometimes what's seen as fake listening or fake active listening, which is where we tilt our head,
smile
and nod. Yeah. It's the nodding dog. Can you remember that? The Churchill dog that used to sit in the back of the car nodding at. That is a fake listening. What we need to be conscious of is advice monsters, because your advice monster is that feeling that you get where someone's talking to you, telling you something, and your brain immediately goes, oh my God, I know the answer. And your listening goes, it just stops and pauses, because your brain, that is your advice monster in your mind, is saying, I know how to answer this. You need to listen to me. And it might be a case that I'll be polite. So I'll smile and I'll nod and I'll do it. And that is then when we're not truly listening, because someone has said something and our brain immediately goes to, I know the solution, I know the answer. And it just kind of sits and waits until a moment of silence happens, and then the advice monster can just take over.
So if I take you back to my story and say,
yes.
Okay, I'm definitely doing that then. So I'm definitely letting my advice monster go whole hog, take over me. And I've seen this, I can see this picture. So for anybody that's thinking, you know what does that mean? What does that look like? If you've been in a situation where you are, I've seen this before, I can do this. Let me either help you for whatever reason, or I'm just going to tell you this anyway, because once I tell you this, your world is going to be such a better place. But what actually happens? Well, we switch off.
Yeah.
And we're now taking it upon ourselves to make sure the whole world sees everything that we need them to know.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So there's these... How many advice monsters are there then?
There's three.
Okay, go on.
So I think based on who you are as a human being, it has certain influence to it, but also as well, it's going to be dependent on the situation. Someone starts talking, your advice monster just kind of comes out of nowhere, comes out of the dark and just goes, oh, I'm going to add some value to this conversation.
Good.
Here I am. So there's three different advice monsters that we need to understand and be able to recognise. Now, the first is referred to as the tell it advice monster. And this is probably the loudest of them all. It's convinced you that the only way that you add value is by having the answers. To have all of the answers, and to have the answers of and for all things. And if you don't have the answers, then it's wrong and we failed.
You can't do your job if you don't have the answer.
Yes. So that is in that situation where you're talking, telling me about a problem or a challenge that you're currently facing, and my brain immediately jumps in with my advice monster, the tell it advice monster is, I've been in that situation before, I know what to do, I have the answer, and now I'm now checked out and I'm ready and waiting for that moment where I can jump in and just tell you.
Do you find yourself doing that?
I think I can definitely recognise situations where I have a tell it advice monster. My brain, I think, is quite busy. The tell it advice monster is the loudest. I know that I'm extroverted, so in certain situations I have to really be aware of my, I can see it, maybe not see it's not the right word, but I know when it happens because my brain immediately does go, oh, I know, that's what mine looks like. Oh, I know. And it is that just real quick moment. And I have to pause and tell myself, no, shut up.
So what ends up being the challenge for you then?
What do you mean by the challenge?
So if your advice monster's coming in,
yeah,
you feel it. It's a feeling for me. The advice monster's coming in. I'm gonna jump in. I'm gonna tell you. Mm-hmm. If that's your advice monster, that's the one that raises its head, if you like. What challenge for you? What happens there? What happens? Is it that it's just a knee-jerk reaction? Or what do you do differently?
So for me, it's pausing and just thinking about, no, don't interrupt. Let them explore and say what they need to. Because sometimes in some moments and situations, people don't need an answer. They don't need help. They know deep down what the answer is. Sometimes that person might just want to have a bit of an event.
Mm. Okay. So we've got that tell it advice monster.
The loudest.
The loudest. What about the second advice monster?
So the second advice monster is a little bit more subtle and it's called save it.
Okay.
So save it, what it's had done is it's almost like it's put its arm around you and it's gone, your job and your only job is to save everyone and rescue everyone. Don't let anyone stumble. Don't let anyone trip up. Don't let anyone struggle. And because if they do struggle, then we all fail.
Okay.
So the save it advice monster is a bit like, it's like a superhero because you want to kind of save and protect everyone.
So that'd be me turning around and going, I need to help you because if I don't do it, no one else in the world could do this.
Yes.
Let me help you now. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So from that point of view, we see quite a lot of different scenarios, especially in T2 Towers, where people come to us for a certain reason.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many different reasons why people would come to the T2 course. If it is that the save it advice monster is jumping in, why would they find that, you know what, I just need to... I know that we do as consultants, but if you're looking at some of the issues within your working environments, is it that you are offering the save it tool again and again and not allowing people to fail? Mm-hmm. Or have you got, you know exactly what we're talking about here and the advice monster isn't jumping in and actually you have people that fail fast mm-hmm. but learn faster. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is that you're doing, which one of everybody else's advice monsters are coming into, especially what have you seen at T2? What are the things that we see?
So I think if we think about the save it advice monster, it comes from a place of care. Because it wants to, there's a care for others in that situation that it wants to save the situation or save that person. Yeah. So we definitely are seeing that potentially there's high levels of trust there or in psychological safety. But the impact potentially is that person truly able to find the solution themselves because you're just helping them all the time? And actually, what impact does that have on you? So often with some of the people that we work with, they give and give and give to others. And I can think of one particular individual that I was working with recently, and it was a case of their advice monster was their father, because saying, you need to help them. Mm. And in those situations, whenever this person had a problem, it was immediately straight away, let me help you, I'll help you, I'll fix it, and jump straight in. But are you, and the question I had to ask them is, are you truly helping that individual in the long term? Mm. Pause, massive pause, until she turned around and said, no, I'm not.
When you're thinking pause, and I don't know if it's something to do with the stigma that's attached to silence, some people have to fill that silence with any kind of rubbish. But understanding that that's where the most thinking goes on.
Mm-hmm.
If you land a really, really good question, mm-hmm. like your example there, and it gives people the time to think, But your advice was to jump in and tries to settle it before they've even had time to think about the answer. What's our advice on pausing?
I think our advice on pausing is to get comfortable with it. And you need to, you said that it's that time to think. If you're going to ask a really good question because you want to listen, then you need to stay quiet and you need to listen to the answer, because some people need the time to process that and to think before they then vocalise it.
If we talk about the pause and when people turn around, I've had the scenarios here, and you can, you know, when you go, I can hear the cogs turning in your head and go, and people are, the thinking face. Everybody's got a thinking face, haven't they?
Yeah.
But if we don't have that conversation, be able to feel comfortable in that space and in that moment, potentially we are, again, that low productivity environment where we just listen to you because you're the only one that's talking. And as a leader, you're not listening. So we'll just let you go on your own merry way, and we know you're going to jump in at some point, but I'm not that person to have that. I feel uncomfortable with that silence. I'm glad enough now that in this environment, I was just talking at people.
Yes.
In T2's environment, I give you as many chances as everybody that I speak to, even one-to-one coaching sessions I've had this morning, that I want you to give me more. I want you to be able to give me your thoughts, your ideas, your innovation, if you like. Because if I'm just jumping in to save you all the time, I don't even like give you the time to think. Well, of course it's going to end up in a car crash, and I'm not going to end up doing, and I'll end up doing the work for you, which I've learned the hard way. But at what stage do we turn around and say, the pause is a little bit too long?
Eventually, that other person will speak, because what will happen is you ask a question and pause, feels a little bit awkward. That person's going to feel then awkward themselves, but there will come a point in time where they become so overwhelmed by the awkwardness, that the fact that a question has been asked and no one's said anything, they will say something. And then it's a case of allowing them to just do that. So the two advice monsters there. So we've got tell it, which is by hands down the loudest, and the tell it is focused on the answers and giving you, I've got the answer here, I'm going to jump in. Save it, which is a case of, it's a little bit more subtle, but we're conscious of others and we want to kind of jump in and save the situation. Now the third one is control it. So control it has convinced you that the only way that you're going to win this situation is to maintain control at all times. So this is the third reason what stops us from actively truly listening in the moment. So it's a case of don't let go of grip of anything. If anyone else tries to take control even just a little bit, then we're going to fail.
So examples where I've seen that, you know what, every single engagement that we have at T2, we've had loads of people come in and we, at certain stages, we have to take control of the situation because it's the first time they've seen us.
Yes.
It's the first time that we've had that conversation with somebody. Mm-hmm. It's the first time they've ever met a learning development consultant.
Yeah.
But understanding that we allow them to fail, we allow them to go and make mistakes and maybe even have the conversations that they need to without us jumping down the necks and going, this is this, that is that, this is X is Y, and this is what you need to be doing. As good leaders, you don't need full control.
No, and if you then come back to the impact that has on others, so we started this hubcast with you sharing that story for that you are able to reflect on, probably for a sustained period of time, you just had full control of that situation. And you shared some of the things that actually it didn't impact on productivity, which then leads to performance. I think this is one, all of these have negative consequences, but coming back to trust and psychological safety, what impact does the control it advice monster have on that feeling of psychological safety?
Well, again, you're not, it's the opposite reaction to what you actually think it should be.
Yes.
If I take full control, we will get to the end goal. We'll achieve the Everest to climb, if you really want to talk about analogies, and we use the human iceberg. Mm-hmm. I can climb any mountain. I can do whatever I need to do because I have full control.
Yeah.
When actually, you're hindering yourself and your team by just jumping in and doing everything.
Yes.
So that advice monster would be also wasting time because you don't necessarily need to have that conversation.
Yeah. And would it be right in saying, if anything, it has a negative impact on that psychological safety as well?
Oh, definitely. Because imagine if he was a part of that team. Mm-hmm. Imagine if he was part of that team that was working under me and I'm just giving all versions of the advice monster.
Mm-hmm.
Each at different points, I'm going in, don't do that because I need to help you with this.
Yeah.
Do it this way because this way works.
Mm-hmm.
Or let me help you. Come on, I'm in. Listen to my advice. This is what I'm going to be doing next.
Yes.
Follow the process. Whatever it was, all of those things, again, going back to good questioning, you can get the... If you let people have that time to think and come up with their own ideas, it's like giving them skin in the game.
Mm.
It's like giving them the chance, the opportunity, not only to say something, but for you to actively listen and action things from that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the environment and what we create is that advice monsters, not necessarily great to have in any way, shape or form until you fully understand what's actually going on. Now, before that, I think about some of the environments that have been set in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the environments that we have meetings, right? Everybody has meetings. They're like the biggest interaction for professional environments.
Mm-hmm.
But which ones are best, if you think about from a listening point of view? Where do you get your message across, or where are you heard? And what are the things that happen from that? So if we flip the possible outcomes of a poor listener,
mm-hmm.
and we flipped it on its head and said, right, these are the environments that we can create.
Because
I think one of the major things when we talk about these, we've got these levels that we're going to talk about in a second, but how do I level up my listening skills?
Yes.
Okay. So what have we found so far?
So coming back to kind of taming our advice monsters, so we need to tame it and understand it, because ultimately one thing that's highlighted in the TED Talk on this is...
It was on that TED Talk, remind me.
So that is Michael Bungay-Stenier. I always say his name wrong, so I know I've probably got that wrong.
Yeah, so Michael Bungay-Stenier.
Thank you, James.
He was really, really, really good. And you know what? He's inspiring just from a curiosity point of view.
He's a really good speaker. Yeah, really engaging. So his kind of one of the statements that he makes in the TED Talk itself is, in that singular moment when your advice monster is in control, ultimately you are saying that you're better than the other person.
Wow.
Yeah, which is strong. You're better than the other person. You're saying that they're not up to it. You're saying that they're not good enough. You're saying they're not smart enough, they're not wise enough, that they're not fast enough, moral enough, experienced enough. And basically saying that they are not good enough. That is the impact that is the impact that you have when you allow your advice monster to take over and take control of the situation. That's the impact that it has on other people.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
So without saying advice, what are some of the things that we can do to prevent us from being that type of person?
Yeah. So in those moments, we are, and sometimes we don't realise that we're doing it when our advice monster takes over and we kind of jump in. And that's a habit. And especially, I think, in the workplace where it's fast-paced and energetic and we're jumping in and out of meetings and then we're speaking to this person, putting out this fire and moving on to the next thing. We are now caught ourselves in an advice-giving habit, or as Michael refers to it as an
Yeah. What does R stand for, Bernice?
AGH, advice-giving habit.
Right.
So what we need to do is replace that old advice-giving habit with a new habit, which is simply focused on how can I stay curious just a little bit longer?
Yeah. This word, curiosity, is coming up in a lot of things that I'm reading around and being curious for. But understanding that I'm in a... It is the key word, especially going into some of the newer research that's coming out, not just from Michael, but from other reference points as well, is that if I'm struggling with a situation or I'm not listening, mm-hmm. or I'm not being heard, mm-hmm. then what is it that I go and do? Do I just sit and do the same thing over and over again, i.e. just embrace the advice monster that I'm being given and I've been shown all the time? Or do I stay curious and actually go, just go into a little bit more detail about that.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me a little bit more of a... Is that really the issue that you've got?
Yes.
Now, I love the book, The Coaching Habit.
Yeah.
And I think the seven questions that are in there are mega.
Mm-hmm.
Because if implemented, and this is the caveat, if they are implemented in the right way, I've experienced it from Tracy Roberts, our head consultant, coaching us in our one-to-ones. I think it's great that we embrace the same process.
Yes.
And have the same conversations in coaching sessions that we deliver.
Yes.
So what for everybody that's there, if they've never read that book before or even listened to some of the podcasts around it, what does that look like?
So we've got the Coaching Habit book, which kind of refers to kind of seven specific questions. But even sometimes might not always need the seven questions. So the Coaching Habit, so say less, ask more, and change the way that you lead forever. So the book itself offers seven questions that he proposes increases our impact of actually truly being a coach leader. And this is also something that can help us to tame those advice monsters. So question one, the kickstart question, what's on your mind? So this is how we begin our conversations in a way that's focused and open.
Okay.
So it's immediately in that situation, having that high level of curiosity, and it's focused on a question.
So this is where I'm trying to say my advice monster right now. I'm going to ask a question and I say, so what are the things that we need to talk about when we are looking at the coaching habit?
Mm-hmm.
Taking that focus, trying to apply it to something a little bit more specific then.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about questions.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at the coaching habit bit. Let's look at the question part and then what detail we can get from it.
Yeah.
Does that a little bit of a kickstart question example?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So second question is what else? And what else?
So when these questions come up and when I ask them specifically, it does get to the root cause, if you like,
mm-hmm.
and understanding that everybody can. There's always something going on.
Yeah,
and to understand and inform and be curious and stay curious, that and what else question is really quite important. So you could give me the initial bang. We're in the room. We're talking about listening all the time, and you've got to be a better listener.
Mm-hmm.
But what else is the issues that are around that environment that we could have cause for concern about?
Yes, nice.
And all of a sudden you turn around and go, and this and this and this. It could be to do with the people, that my team's not listening to me either.
Mm.
And what else might be an issue that could impact that? And you keep going with this thread until eventually I turn around and go, and that's probably it.
Yeah.
And anything else? And you no, and that's it.
Yeah.
Because what you've done is you've then got to the actual root cause. And if you listen carefully to the answers of those questions, that and what else question could give you that thread that actually ties in something that they didn't necessarily admit was an issue in the first instance.
Definitely.
So getting to that root cause and understanding that and what else question is probably the golden one from how, and not, they're all good questions, but it's understanding that I've got the most from that when helping people become better at just any kind of issue that they've got at work.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's loads of stuff that you can do with that.
It's just so powerful as a question, and what else? It's just because it does, it forces that person to really sit and think about it and explore it. Because I think so often, all the time as human beings, we focus on this is the problem, this is the challenge that we face.
And then, the solution, Bernice.
Thank you.
Don't call me advice monster. This is that. I'm straight in. I'm not messing around. We haven't got enough time in the day to be able to be doing with this.
Go, go, go.
Okay.
But you're exactly right. The reality is that happens so often day to day. So simply by focusing on actually kind of what's going on right now and what else? Mm-hmm. It feels like it's annoying and it takes a long time, but it's important that we ask the all question to really get to the heart of the problem.
What comes after that then?
Which ties very nicely with the next question, which is the focus question, which is, so what's the real challenge here for you?
I like the word you.
Why?
What happens when someone says you? Mm-hmm. There is no ambiguity here. Mm-hmm. Another great question. But understanding that I'm not talking about anything else. All these scenarios, I'm just talking about the impact it has on you. And the biggest challenge for you right now is, okay, now you're asking me what my challenge is. Mm-hmm. And it's not about, well, Tom seems to struggle with something this, and Steve seems to do with this, and Spencer seems to be doing stuff for this, and go, actually, it's not about them.
Mm-hmm.
It's about you. It's about you.
Yes.
And I think we work with the language in our triggers workshop as well.
Mm.
What advice would you, what are the things that you can control? And we use that, and there's another podcast, Total Podcast on ABC.
Yeah.
From Martin, but if there is anything on there, that what is the focus question for? Is to go, this is the issues, we've exacerbated everything that we could have spoke about, and what else, and then, right, get it back up, get us back on track. This is what we're talking about now.
Yeah.
What is the biggest challenge?
Yeah. Okay. And
the real challenge, sorry.
Yeah. So what is the real challenge here for you? And sometimes, and kind of Michael mentions this in the TED Talk on how to tame your advice monster, that in those moments where the advice wants to take over, sometimes starting off with that question can help. So what's the real challenge here for you?
Yeah.
And what else? And then we come back to the focus question. So it's again, so what's the real challenge here for you? And that can sometimes alone be really powerful.
What do we start to see there then? Maybe a little bit of silence?
Definitely.
A little bit of that quiet space for us and how we've done that. And
yeah.
Obviously now we're going to embrace that silence a little bit because that's maybe somebody's thinking time.
Mm, yeah.
Okay, you're asking me a really good question, Bernice. Now what is the real challenge for me? Now, am I able to articulate that?
And the likelihood is asking the, so what's the real challenge here for you question again, that answer is going to feel very different to the first question and the answers that you got because we've asked, and what else, and what else, and what else.
A little bit deeper.
Yeah. Question four, the foundation question. What do you want? This question takes us to the heart of the matter so that our attention is on what really matters. So we've been through the what's the real challenge here for you. What do you want? So if that's the challenge for you, what do you want, James?
What do I want? So let's go back to the story. So what do I want? I want to understand the mistakes that I've made in the past and the impact of listening and what that does for other people, not just me.
Mm-hmm. The next question is, how can I help?
If we're talking about staying curious, Bernice, mm-hmm. I'm going to open my mind, with my growth mindset, by the way, to be curious, to think about, I can open myself and ask you for your advice.
Mm.
That's slightly different to the advice monster.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm trying to get the help from you. I've given you all my information. I've told you what I wanted. We've focused on something very clear. And I think you could help me with maybe some of the environments that we set. Maybe the environment that's set so that I can facilitate really good listening for me.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I think it comes down to, again, that question, what's the real challenge here for you? Because it might be that someone does come to you and say, hey, I've got this problem, I need your advice. Why do you need my advice?
Yeah.
Why me?
Well, as a subject specialist at T2 and having that confidence in T2 and the way that we work and the environments that we set.
Yeah.
I'm interested in just your point of view. I'm not saying that that's going to be my be-all and end-all. I'm going to hang my hat on every single bit of advice you give me.
Mm-hmm.
But it could form some of my internal narrative of what I might do next, what I might be able to, and like this word, and everybody that's been in my workshops, tweak. I've been able to have that conversation and say, I'm not going to do the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're subject specialist, so let's have a little bit of a conversation about this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying we're going to come to the, I'm not going to agree with everything that you say, but I am going to listen.
Yes. And that comes back into the psychological safety again,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
I trust you, Bernice.
Yeah.
And you know what? I know that if there is a conversation to be had, I can have that conversation with you.
Yes.
Makes sense, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think there's again, links in psychological safety because there's a little bit of vulnerability there.
Mm.
It's a case of, you know what, I can recognise that I need a little bit of help here, and I've identified that this is someone who can help, potentially help me and give me advice in this situation.
Okay, okay. So we've getting to this, that sort of lazy question, and what is it that I need to get from you? But what's the next one? What's question six?
Question six, the strategic question. If you are saying yes to this, what are you saying no to? Saying yes more slowly means being willing to stay curious.
Understanding that this is probably one of them. I use this question for...
You love this question.
I do love this question because I've through reflection, I've struggled in the past with work-life balance.
Mm-hmm.
I've struggled with... When I was in this environment, in this meeting, I was stressed. But I was saying yes to...
Yeah.
The workload, if you like, and the first person or what I was saying no to was me. Mm-hmm. And I now understand that to a deeper level from an unconscious motivated level. But for the average person that's now looking at this or reading or listening to this podcast, there is a no. If there's a yes, there is definitely a no. And for your understanding, if you are saying yes to this person, project of work, pattern of behaviour, whatever it is that you're saying yes to, there is something that you are saying no to, whether it might be just the flip side of that coin or a definite, definitive, this is the situation I'm saying yes to.
Mm-hmm.
I am also saying no to that communication and making the whole team better, for example. There's so many different things that people say yes to.
Yes.
And also, as a counter-argument, people say no to.
Mm-hmm. And would it be right in saying that it's really important, especially if we're thinking about problem solving and we're applying these coaching questions, when we get to this point as well, it can help with clarity on the solution and the path that we're making.
Definitely. So let's use it on this podcast. Mm-hmm. If I'm saying yes to really working on my listening.
Yeah.
What am I saying no to? I'm saying no to ambiguity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying no to low productivity environments and teams.
Yeah.
And actually, if I'm saying yes to increasing psychological safety because I want to listen more, all of these things like knock-on effects, because you are saying yes to curiosity, you are saying yes to listening, the knock-on effects, obviously, that then flows right the way down through your team or you just as a person.
Yeah.
But initially, who does it start with? It starts with you.
Yes.
Great. Another plug-in for you statements as well. But yeah, I think that's probably, that's one that I've got quite a lot of, apart from obviously the or question, which I think is another super nice question for me, because you can just keep asking it until people go, and that's it. But actually to the point of going, what is the final question seven that we need to sort of round everything up?
So question seven is the learning question. So the learning question is kind of pairs alongside the Kickstarter question, which was question one. So this is what was referred to as a kind of the coaching bookends, let's say. So ensuring that the conversation that you've had with that person is high value. And it simply is, what was the most useful for you?
I really think hindsight is great. I also think that if I'd have been listened to as I've gone through different environments, different working environments, or different meetings, or whatever it is, any communication, if I'd have been able to voice my opinion every single time, if I'd have been able to have conversations and what is it that I'm getting from it? What is it that the people that I'm getting from this conversation? And off the back of that kickstart question, what is the impact that that has on everybody else in the organisation? Because once this happens again and you go through this process of asking these questions or maybe even just listening a little bit more, it becomes the norm. It becomes a process of, I am now that curious. I know more about you than you know about yourself.
Mm.
Because I've asked all the questions, we've got all the detail and I've confirmed it as well. So that impact could be massive.
Yeah.
And your teams know where they stand with you. Because they know the process, they know what they're going to be asked, and eventually they sometimes they'll answer the questions themselves.
Yes.
Which I think that's where SAT comes back to, doesn't it? Where actually you don't just give them the advice. You actually get them to
Help
for themselves.
It's that person. Well, it's the learning question, isn't it? It's kind of what can we learn from having this conversation? And this is where, for some people, it can be those real little light bulb moments.
Ooh, light bulb moments.
I love a light bulb moment.
What's the last light bulb moment you've had?
Oh, that's a question. Oh, I don't know. I would have to pause and think about that.
See, I could jump in with my advice monster here, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to let Denise think about it.
My last light bulb moment. I would slip that and ask, what would yours be? Because I can't think.
I think it's today.
Yeah?
I think it's today to confirm. And actually, through that reflection bit, is, you know what? It's time for me as an individual to take a step back and actually think, right, am I still giving my advice when letting it out too much? Because When I first got a hold of Michael's book and the podcast and the TED Talks, like we've done and we've gone into the detail, I also seconded it and I turned around and thought, you know what? Am I doing what I'm saying I'm doing? So that light bulb moment being, you know what? I am going to give credit where credit's due to go, as I'm looking back through this information to say, they're the touch points. And from some of the coaching sessions, and it was interesting that I'd had a coaching session this morning with somebody that's really good, really good little workshop for 2 hours, just one-to-one. But have I, after revisiting this content and this information, am I still doing what I set out to do in the reflection that I have in that March time frame? And it's interesting to see this next bit of detail. So we went on to the Harvard Business Review and we got, what was the name of the article? The article was, what great listeners actually do. Now, we've spoke about a lot of this indirectly, but what I would just want to touch on is this level system of these six levels, Bernice.
Yeah.
Because I think that this is probably the just to help people give a little bit of structure and go, right, am I doing what? I think I'm good at this. I can ask all those coaching questions. Mm. I do it on a regular basis. But is the environment wrong?
Yeah.
Okay, so level one, what have we got on that?
So level one of listening is the listener creates a safe environment in which difficult, complex or emotional issues can be discussed.
Right, so more than often I'm now trying to set environments like one-to-ones.
Yeah.
Like I won't out people in our office. I'll try and take them out separate. I'll have a conversation via message and go, I just need to communicate with you for a second. When's the best time for you? Put it on you, have that conversation and let's see if we can have it might not necessarily be the easiest way to do so because we all like to do that. Come here, information. Now you can have your head back.
Yeah.
When actually is it that safe environment for people to go, I really need your opinion here. Can we just have a conversation that might take a little bit of time out of your day? And remember, if you're saying yes to it, time is the same for everybody. Doesn't matter whether you got a pound in your pocket or £1 million.
Yeah.
Time is the same for everybody. So be very careful when you're taking somebody's time off them. Mm. In that safe environment, if you haven't created that environment, then my question would be, are you wasting people's time?
Yeah. Links into, so it mentions safe environment, but the psychologically safe environment as well. So, for example, if we are exploring a challenge or a problem and you want to listen, so you want to tame your advice monster, so to stop yourself from jumping in to a situation and you need to listen to what others say, if that's in a group environment, certain individuals, they are going to speak up or speak more than others, you might be kind of possessing and focusing on how you can truly actively listen by creating the right environment, but actually you can't control the fact that other people have advice monsters. So it's being conscious of what is the best environment.
For you, right?
So
that for everybody that's in there, for your team, for you and the people that are around you in the working environments, the organisation you work for, the people that are in that environment, and that person, I think that's but if we talk about the three P's a lot, don't we? So is it the project of work and the people that work on that project? Is it the P, the actual person themselves, or is it some of the behaviours? So when you start to see patterns of behaviour, that's when we can start to really look into real detail of how we created that safe environment for everybody. Level two then, the listener clears away distractions like phones, laptops, focusing attention on the other person and making appropriate eye contact.
Yes.
Looking deep into my eyes, deep into my eyes. Not around the eyes, looking into my
eyes. Into the eyes, you're under.
I think that sometimes people get awkward with that and they don't. Some people stare into your soul and they give you that sort of eyebrow raised look.
Yes.
Of confusion.
Yeah.
Remember that some people pick up on those social cues very, very quickly.
Yeah.
But just be your genuine self. Be authentic.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think getting away from the distractions, that's it. That is a... We see it, especially on online workshops.
Oh, yeah.
Where we see, and I'm going to be totally honest with you, you're checking your emails.
Mm-hmm.
You are, you're checking your emails.
You see it, yeah.
You can see their eyes just going off to the side. Going, yeah, now I'm listening, James. My question would be, are you? What else are you doing with your time when really we're trying to immerse it? And we have it in the workshops as well. We understand that people are busy. That's why we have
limited bricks. But if you have distractions around you, then that will always get in the way if you're truly listening. And coming back to your point that we see it on the virtual sessions. So we've got some clients who they operate solely remotely globally. So everything that we do with them is virtual. And we kind of say, I have a little kind of it in my pitch at the start. I always talk about, if you know that you're easily distracted, and if in order for you to really get the best out of this session, you need to be responsible in how you're going to manage those distractions. I know for me, if that was me on a session with you and I want to really listen to you, James, for me, I know that my team's outlook completely shut them down. Not to the full extent, shutting them down is quite strong, but I'm not deleting the full inbox, but just turning off that notification. Because I know for me, we talk about and live and breathe all this stuff, but I know for me, I'm very easily distracted. If I'm trying to listen on Teams or Zoom to you and I get a little ping coming from somewhere, then...
It's that little eyes down.
Yeah. Even like phone, I know when... During the pandemic, I was doing a lot of virtual delivery training sessions. And I knew that I've got the distraction because I'm sat near the window. And I used to always see, like, a woman who lived opposite. She would just be always doing stuff, easily distracted. But phone, I know that I had to put my phone literally on the bookcase out of arm's reach because it lights up and flashes all the time, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So anyway, I've gone off on a tangent. So level two is?
Level two, get rid of the distractions.
Yes.
So take your phone, chuck it in the bin, whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
But understand that they are the things that are going to take your focus away from what we're talking about, which is the listening part.
Yes.
Okay. And level three, listener seeks to understand the substance of what a person is saying. They capture ideas, ask questions, and restate issues and confirm that they have understood this correctly or understood it correctly. Now, if you think about that, what did I just say?
So,
that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Asking that question. What did I just say to you there?
Yeah.
Am I hearing or are you listening to the same thing I'm hearing about?
Yes.
So, I use the one who's saying, can I just read between the lines a little bit? Can I paraphrase you as a person? And what I'm listening to is this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just confirm, without my advice monster kicking in, I'm just capturing what you've said. There's a slight difference there between me jumping in and saving you or telling you or controlling it to actually come. There's a difference between confirm, that I've got to confirm what you've said so that I understand the whole environment.
It's that question. I catch myself. I do it automatically quite often. Would it be right in saying? So based on what you've told me, would it be right in saying this? And it's almost like the acknowledgement of what has been said.
I like it. If would I be right in saying that sort of comes sometimes? It could be seen as a challenge from somebody that's not psychologically safe.
Yes.
If I say, I'm just going to paraphrase you for a second because I want you to confirm the same things that I'm hearing that you're saying.
Yes.
And then we can go into a deeper conversation from that. but let's get the basics done right.
Yeah. And I think this is really important because, again, it comes back to that assumption that listening is the smile and nod.
Yeah, true.
And it's staying quiet. Yeah. Listening, and it's mentioned in this particular article as well, listening is actually, it's almost like being a bit of a sponge and absorbing what that other person is saying. And good listeners are like trampolines.
Oof.
Yeah. There's someone that you can bounce ideas off. Rather than simply absorbing your ideas and energy, they amplify, energize, and clarify what you are thinking. That's what good listeners do.
That's a great point. Because now I feel as if I'm trying to give you the same information back and have an open and honest conversation about you, about becoming a trampoline. That's what we're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking.
Yeah. So I think that links in really nicely to kind of level four of listening is it's actually seeking to understand what the other person is saying and being able to capture ideas, ask questions and really explore what they're saying in the moment.
Okay. Level four then. So the listener observes non-verbal cues such as facial expressions, perspiration, respiration rate, gestures, posture, numerous other subtle body language signals. Now, if you think about that, I talk with my hands. I'm doing very well to not bounce around like Tigger on a podcast, which I know I do. But if I can understand that this salient point is what I really want to land on,
mm-hmm.
and I can create that, when I see that your shoulders drop down and you go, big deep breath, and you roll your eyes and you start to... I'm not saying you always do this, Bernice. But if it was that we had a conversation, you could pick up on those things that are not necessarily being said. But even from, like we've spoke about being online and having those distractions.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm picking up on the... Yeah. Does this mean that you get exactly what I'm saying?
No, you look distracted.
I look like...
You look like...
You are literally doing it for the sake of doing it. As Tom starts nodding back at the camera.
Poor Tom. So for anyone who doesn't know, Tom is our kind of our superhero when it comes to anything kind of content related. So Tom has the pleasure of sitting in to all of our podcasts, don't you, Tom?
But again, picking up on social cues, picking up on those things and again, being aware of that. What he's not just about listening, he's with your eyes and ears, so he's picking up on that on the subtle things. So
100%. And I think because something as simple as being able to identify when someone says something but you know that there's something more. How often do people say something and you know based on their facial expression, their body language, that there's something more that we need to get at? That's then when we need to ask a real nice, powerful question.
Yeah, getting back to that level one about creating that safe environment.
Yes.
Imagine if you've just been on 15 meetings and I think the record I've got at the moment is 8 in a day where somebody's sat on an 8-hour meetings. That's your day. Done.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yep.
Mm-hmm.
I went, so when do you prepare for all of those meetings?
Yeah.
And it was honestly so interesting to understand that somebody will keep going, but you start to understand people's frustrations. I think we call it getting on their island. What am I listening to and understanding that I'm trying to get to the actual issue itself and help you with that?
Yeah.
Obviously we're not creating those environments now, but again, listening with your eyes, what's going on?
Mm.
What else can I pick up on? Even though it might not even be said or maybe even communicated to you, but non-verbally, it's definitely there. Let's look at level five then. The listener increasingly understands other person's emotions and feelings about the topic at hand. Identifies and acknowledges them. The listener emphasizes and validates those feelings in a supportive and non-judgmental way. The subtle tuts. I'll use this in my personal life as well, by the way.
Okay.
If he's going to be the, you know that someone's going to roll their eyes or whatever it is. But when you are your authentic self, some people, and the most authentic environment would be at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
For most people. But understanding that I'm not taking it, I'm not judging you on what you say to me now. This is that environment and I can emphasise and, you know, I like to think that we support each other in enough way to have that conversation and
yeah.
be able to move on with this and learn from it.
Yeah, and I think it links into level one as well. It's that safe environment. Yeah. So kind of being able to recognise how the other person feels about the topic
yeah.
and to support them through that as well. So it isn't about kind of judging or disregarding them. So often, how many times have you mentioned a problem or something that's stressing you out or kind of something, one thing went really bad and then that other person, they don't listen to your frustration. They turn around with, oh yeah, I've been in that situation before.
This is the 11 a reef analogy. Some people that are, you could say anything to them and they've always done something better or they've had it worse. Or yeah. And this is my story.
Yeah.
Again, you're not listening to me.
Yes.
No, you really are not listening to everything I said.
I think I could be honest and say that I know that's something that I have the potential for, based on the work that we're doing with them.
No, me too. Me too. I know I could do.
Or is that you agreeing with me? Yeah,
I can do worse than you. No problem.
Okay. But I know we're So with the work that we're doing with Rich Deviney and the attributes, so at T2 we've all done the attributes test. And I know that things like empathy are actually quite low for me. I've got high curiosity. I have moderate emotional intelligence. So I can see things, but the empathy for me is quite low. And I think sometimes my advice monster in those moments where it's a case of someone is displaying emotions or upset, anger, frustration about a particular situation, that I know for me is like a weak point. And I know for me, that's potentially where an advice monster might try and step in that moment. I know that that's something that I'm not the best at.
Yeah, well, if I moved on to level 7 then, that yeah. could give you that. And again, if we are trying to be the best listener
yeah.
that we can be, it might be that you're asking questions. So level 6, the listener asks questions that clarify assumptions from the other person and holds and helps the other person to see the issues in a new light.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you don't necessarily have that empathy superpower, you are still empathetic, Bernice. How about we challenge that empathy for the next 12 months and have that conversation? Mm. Maybe even you could work on it, and I'd like to reach out, and if there is anything that you need from me to support you whilst you're trying to be a little bit more empathetic when people are starting to get emotional. Mm-hmm. I'm listening to what you're saying. I'm repeating the same thing back to you.
Yes.
With a slightly different way of looking at it.
Yeah, and offering support as well.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I think from a personal level, I know that I like to think I've got good levels of emotional intelligence. So when it comes to kind of that level 4 of being able to recognise kind of the visual things, I like to think I'm very good at that. I'm very good at being able to spot if someone's got something to say or if maybe their face is telling me something that's not quite true to the words. So your face right now is...
I'm confused. What are you talking about?
So getting distracted there. So with these levels then, so level 1, safe environment.
Yeah.
Level 2, eliminate distractions. Yep. Don't allow yourself room to get distracted because that will get in the way of you truly listening. Level 3, seek to understand and explore exactly what that person's saying. Remember, conversations should be a bit like a trampoline, bouncing ideas together. That's what true good listeners do.
Ask questions.
Nice.
Cool.
Level 4, listener. So we are observing nonverbal cues, being conscious and aware of what we're seeing, not just the words that we're hearing. Level 5, the listener is understanding that other person's feelings and emotions about that topic in hand, whatever the situation might be. And level 6, asking questions that clarify assumptions the other person holds and helping them see the issue in the new light, which kind of comes back to those initial questions that we explored. Sorry, the 7 coaching habit questions, doesn't it?
Definitely. I think that provides, just for me, and now if I say, and again, hindsight's a great thing, but if I went back into that environment where the story at the beginning, if it was that I created an environment where the people could have the initial conversation before it even got to this meeting,
mm-hmm.
and I had created environments for them to do so, me as a listener not as a leader, as a listener, would then understand their frustrations and what was actually going on rather than just what I thought was going on.
Yes.
And even when people are saying, I can't do this because of this, actually it's because we've not had the environment to do so. Either we've been in the wrong environment or we don't feel comfortable saying it in front of that person.
Yes.
But I would feel comfortable on a one-to-one basis.
Yeah.
So I think as a sort of framework for listening, we're not making assumptions. Mm-hmm. We're having conversations. We're asking really good questions.
Yeah.
We're understanding and forming, we're not letting our advice monster kick in. We're actually letting people speak.
Yes.
In the structure that works the best for not just me, not just you, but as a collective to work in this environment.
Yeah.
And listen. Is there anything else you would like to add before we leave?
No, I think we've covered quite a lot in that podcast. But I think it comes back to being able to recognise your advice monster.
Definitely.
Tame it, understand it. And it's a case of changing that habit. If you are caught in an advice-giving habit or an because that's what it does to others. If you do catch yourself with an advice-giving habit, we need to turn that into curiosity. So what's the one thing that I can do to be more curious? Because curiosity is where we're truly allowing ourselves to listen to others. And by doing so, we empower others. We are able to increase psychological safety. And if we're able to do all of those things, that will lead to higher levels of accountability, higher levels of empowerment, engagement, and ultimately that leads to more effective, productive, and high-performing teams.
The message being, stay curious from the people performance people. Bernice, it's been a pleasure. As always, we need to do it a bit more often and get in here a little bit more, but we're pretty busy at this current moment in time, so it's nice to take the time out and actually have a conversation in a podcast. Yeah. So thank you again for your time.
Thank you.
Everybody else, brilliant. See you again on the next Team2 Hubcast.